had a tail behind me. I was going to originally ask Kyle to come up, but I'm not today. I like using Kyle as an introduction to a sermon. We have a lot of fun and going back and forth a little bit. And last week, as many of you know, we talked about if he has any enemies, which we all do. The reason why I'm not today is because of the events that happened yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about that. Because, as you know, I'm in a series of sermons entitled You Ask For It, where I ask you, the congregation, to come up with various sermon topics that we can discuss throughout the summertime. Summertime is kind of a very relaxed time, and it's a time where I just like to kind of feel out where you guys are coming from and thoughts and maybe some ideas for some sermon series on those. Last week we talked about when's the time to shake the dust off your feet in a relationship. This week we're going to talk about when's the time to stop turning the other cheek. And I have two more that I yet to preach, which is going to be in September. One of them is about predestination and free will. And the next one is, it has to do with the second coming of Jesus, and I'm hoping to be able to get to those. Well, anyway, coming back to this, as many of you know by watching the news yesterday of the tragic events that happened in Virginia, of an individual, of two groups that got together on separate thought spectrums, and how they clashed and then eventually ended up that one ran his car into a crowd of people, killing one person and injuring 19. Now, I don't know if the death toll has gone up, but last thing I heard, it was one death and 19 injured. Plus, two police officers were killed when their helicopter crashed. Looking at the news this morning, come to find out the individuals from Ohio, in fact, the individuals from Toledo area, Maumee, Ohio. I kind of looked at the car when I saw it on YouTube, and I go, that guy's from Ohio. I could just see the distinct plates. I want to let you know that today I'm going to do a lot of references to Dr. Martin Luther King, Turning the Other Cheek. And I want you to know that this was all planned before the events actually did happen. So we will talk a little bit about the events and how they kind of coincide with the sermon. And we're going to talk a little bit about the events and maybe how it could have been handled differently. And I'm not talking about the police. I think the police did all that they can do. I'm talking about how, when we have thoughts and stuff like that, how, or to even disagree with thoughts, how, as a Christian, we are to respond to those things. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 42, Jesus was actually preaching a sermon. And it was a sermon that was, I think, the best sermon that had ever been preached. It was laying the foundation for his ministry. Because many of you are aware that Jesus came in and he gave some radical thoughts, thoughts that were not of the mainstream into this religion called Judaism. What he preached eventually came to this point. He says, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. And anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks you. Do not return away from the one who wants to borrow from you." And then it goes on and talks more. It says just one section of his individual sermon. If there's one scripture passage in the scriptures that is more misunderstood, it has to be this one. In fact, if you were to even investigate this particular scripture, you'll find out that there's many different thoughts and interpretations that come around with this. This actually is the scripture that Dr. Martin Luther King used in the 1960s to bring to light racism and bring to light the segregation and the evils that are associated with it. Where he kept saying, we are not going to resort to violence. We are not going to resort to that which is brings us to their level. He kept saying over and over again, we're going to fight with love. We're going to fight with love. We're going to fight this injustice with love instead of. In common humanity, there tends to be two courses that we normally take when there is conflict. The first is fight, the other one is flight. You back somebody into a corner, a lot of times they're going to do one of two things. They're going to run or they're going to fight. Now me, being Darwin, being the middle child, being the abused middle child, middle children here, anybody? You know what I'm talking about, right? I learned very quickly that the best way you get involved in the situation is you flight. Best thing to do is just run, get away from it. That's actually what we're being taught many times in the school system is just get away from the situation. And that leads to some problems as well. I don't like conflict. I hate it. And there's people who actually love conflict, by the way. I'm one of those who just does not like it. I will avoid it. I'm a peacemaker, by the way. I'm one of those people. Let's see how we can get peace in this whole situation. However, being a flight person and have that personality, you tend to bottle up things. Okay, bottle, and it's just like a bottle of Pepsi. You shake it up, and then you unscrew it. What's going to happen? Psst, it's going to blow. And I'm one of those people. I will stuff it, and then when I get angry, boy, do I get angry. Just look at Polly. You agree or disagree, Polly? Kids, remember, my face is red as some of your shirts here, and they just learn when he gets to that point. But Jesus is saying there's a different way. Jesus is saying you don't need to fight. You don't even need to flight. What you need to do is you need to handle situations God's way, not man's way. And so Jesus is giving this in his Sermon on the Mount. Many times he says, you have heard it said. You have heard it said, but I said. How many times did you hear that? You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say that you're to do this. So Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. He's actually giving the foundation for his ministry. Now, why did Jesus say it? Understand the culture. You notice what I'm doing here? I'm saying, why did he say it? What's happening? This is the basis of Bible study. What's happening? And then the next thing is, why did he say what he's being said? So here you have Palestine. Here you have the Jewish people. And they're actually, the whole area is being occupied. Similar to Japan after World War II. After we won the war, we went into Japan and we occupied it. Okay? When you have a foreign power that's in your neighborhood, a foreign power that's in your area, in your country, you don't like that. And so you had the Romans that were actually in Israel, in Palestine at the time, and people just did not like that idea, and they were doing various things to get rid of them, just to make it difficult for them. You had the zealots that were actually literally attacking, and they were assassinating, or various things would happen. So they were taking it out on Romans with revenge and religious extremism, and Jesus saying this is accomplishing absolutely nothing. So you can fight the Romans all you want, but you're not going to get anywhere. You can even run from them. You're not going to get anywhere. He says, I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're to do this. You're to look at these situations, not human way, but you're looking at it God's way. And you're to respond to it God's way. So what is Jesus saying? Well, let's go back. Jesus is saying, use wisdom. He says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, that is scriptural. That is Old Testament. It's found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And basically it's saying here is when you commit a crime, you are to pay back from the crime equal amount. So if I come and I steal a DVR from you, I am to pay back a DVR. Now the key to this is that is for the government to administer, not individuals. Because when individuals administer this is when chaos comes about. What did we see yesterday? You had two groups of people who had their own thoughts. They came together and they disregarded what the police said. They disregarded what the government said. They were going to do what they wanted to anyway. And then you have what was happening on the street in that Virginia town. And eventually people got hurt and eventually people got killed. Why? Because private citizens were now retaliating. We had a situation in Toledo about 2 summers ago. All of a sudden, there were arson fires. Now, in Toledo, every night there's an arson fire, all right? But it was one, they found out that there were arson fires that were happening with two families. It's kind of the Hatfield and McCoys. You had this one family that got offended, so they went in and they firebombed their house. Well, they knew it was them, so then they went over and they firebombed this business, and then they went over and they firebombed them. This was actually happening in Toledo, Ohio. It got to the point where eventually the mayor sat him down and said, "Stop this! You're putting my firemen and my first responders in danger. Stop it!" Believe it or not, what'd they do? They stopped it. But they had taken things in their own hands. That's why we have the government. One of the purposes of the government is to administer justice. And the one way that they're supposed to administer justice is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But you are not to do that. Because when you do that, it produces chaos. So Jesus says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Okay. Now, here's the key. This is the false interpretation the way we always say it. We always say, well, don't resist an evil person. Let him do to you whatever he wants or she wants. That is not what it says. You got to get into the Greek. This is why you have to understand languages. Because languages are different. The Greek word for resist is antistheno, which means this. Anti, which means against. Hesmiai, which means rebellion, armed revolt, or sharp resistance. So it doesn't say you can just don't reply back. It says this. You are not to respond back with rebellion. You are not to respond back with an armed revolt or a sharp dissent. He's saying you are not to reply with revenge. What has been fostered in our society for the last 5, 6, 7 years? This person hurt us, therefore I'm going to hurt them. This policeman did this, therefore I'm going to go and burn the town down. This person did this, and it never stops. Because we're doing it our way instead of God's way. Isn't God's way much better? Because when we do it our way, life usually falls apart. But when we do it God's way, at least it brings some order to it. So he says, you are not to, but I tell you, do not have false or hard rebellion, armed revolt, or sharp dissent with that person. It doesn't say where to sit there and take it. Then he goes on and says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. Now, what he's saying is if somebody is in front of you, okay, and see, this is the right cheek. So the person on the other side has to hit me with their left hand. That's the way they did it back then. But it had to be the back of the hand. And that was very humiliating for that to happen, to be slapped. There are writings that have been found that actually said that for a slave, they rather would have been whipped with a whip than to be hit with the back hand of somebody. So the back hand. Now this is another interesting thing. You got two hands. In the Jewish culture, you had the clean hand and you had the dirty hand. This left hand, which was the dirty hand, is the one that you did all of your dirty stuff with. Okay? Do I need to go any further? What you use this hand for? Okay, you got it? So for you to slap somebody with your left hand, you were slapping them with your dirty hand, and you were saying, you are one of the worst. You are on this same level as this. Got it? All right. So when Jesus says, make them hit you on the right cheek also, or the left cheek, it's saying you're making them now use their other hand, which says that you are now up to their level. So you slap them to demean them. Now he says, now you're going to slap them on the other cheek. And that's basically saying, I am better than that. I am a human being. I am. See what's happening? So it isn't, it can be interpreted of going the extra mile, you know, I'm not going to retaliate and everything else, but it really is saying is, I am now going to rob the humiliator of the ability to humiliate me. Got it? Let's look at some examples. Here's an example in the 1960s, all right? Rosa Parks got on a bus, sat on the bus where any human being should be allowed to sit, right? And they went in and they arrested her for that. So she was robbing the humiliator of the power to humiliate. She says, I'm better than that. However, she still went to jail. She still had to pay a fine. She still went, but she did not retaliate in a way that brought dissension. All right, got it. All right. So when somebody humiliates you, he's saying don't humiliate them back. In fact, stand your ground. You are much better than that. So when somebody humiliates us, what do we normally do? We get on Facebook. And we put it all over Facebook how much of a dirty person that is. How dare they do that to me? And all that does is demean you and lower you. In fact, the scriptures say, what are we supposed to do with our enemies? We are to pray for them, and we are to do good for them so that it will heap burning coals on top of their heads. That's against what society says. Because society says if there's somebody that is protesting around a statue of Robert Lee, General Lee, and I don't like them, then we're going to go and we're going to throw bottles at them and we're going to get into a fight. Now, I'm sure that individual from Maumee, Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, did not drive his Dodge Charger all the way down to Virginia with that in his mind to go and to plow them over. I am confident he didn't say, boy, I'm going to go and kill some people today. But I do think he got caught up in the emotion of the time. And that's Jesus saying, don't get caught up in the emotion. We do a lot of things out of emotion. And I've learned as I'm getting older how to quell some of that stuff. You see, there's a reason why you're not allowed to drink alcohol till you're the age of 21. Because your brain doesn't comprehend what happens. Because you get older, you get wiser, you get calmer. And so he's saying, this guy goes down to Virginia. He got caught up in the moment. He now has this revenge attitude. And now he says, I'm going to show them that I'm tired of this. And he goes and he drives his Dodge Charger into a crowd of people. People are flying all over the place, runs into two cars, and then he kills somebody, and then he injures 19. Why? Because he never was taught the principle of turning the other cheek. You know how they could have done this? I thought about this. What would have been a great protest? If you disagree with the people that were around that statue, what would have been a great protest that would have turned the other cheek? That would have, you would have maintained your integrity? Wouldn't it have been something? If they all would have, a whole group of people, would have marched up, saw the white nationalists, quietly turned their back. And not said a word. Boy, would that have made an impact. You were talking to the pastor who was the president of the Ministry Association of Auburn, Indiana, and the Ku Klux Klan was calling me up and telling me that they're a church and telling me why they were going to have a rally in Auburn, Indiana. You know what the authority said? They said the best thing you could ever do in this rally is stay away from it. Don't give them the audience. That would have been much more powerful. Or not even show up, and they're preaching to an audience of no one. You rob the humiliator of the ability to humiliate. Then Jesus says, don't have time. I had a nice little video. If you ever want to watch that principle, Jackie Robinson's story, the movie called 42, he basically, what?
44.
Oh, okay, well. It was on 42 there. Anyway, okay, 44, whatever it is. But it's a good movie. It talks about when he became the first African-American to be in the white baseball league, and they kept stressing to him over and over again, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek, because he says, I want a good baseball player, and he says, that doesn't fight back, because if you fight back, they'll take note of it. Just as me as a pastor, I fight back, it'll be all over the papers. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Now remember, there's a lawsuit here. We don't bring this up. There's a lawsuit. You offended that person. Somehow you offended that person. Either you didn't pay your bill or whatever else. There's now a lawsuit there. And so what Jesus says is one of two things. I offended them, therefore I will make it better by giving better. Right? I will make it better by giving better. So if I come up and let's say I run into your house, okay? You say, just don't say, oh, I'm sorry, and walk away. Fix it. Make it better. They'll remember that. That's one. The number two is they are unjustly suing you, so I expose their corruptness through the power of silent shame. So it's one of those two. I've seen arguments on both sides. But the key to this is, how is Jesus going to be honored in this situation? Now it's about me, it's about Jesus. That's the key. So let me explain this. So they're suing me, and so they said they want my coat. All right, fine, you can have my coat. By the way, you can have all my clothes. For the Jewish person, nakedness for them was not the shame. The shame was for you to look upon me naked. So here they are. You stand there naked. And he's in front of the judge. He took everything. There it is. Bye. And all of a sudden, you go walking out. You're walking through the street. You're still dignity. Everybody's going, why is Darwin naked? And Polly's going, put your clothes on. You don't even have to say anything because the word will get out there. In 2007, Findlay, Ohio had a flood. One third of the town was underwater. I learned a lot about insurance at that time. I can tell you which insurance companies never to use. I can tell you. Just the way they treated people in Finland. I can tell you who to use, too. If any of you work for Salina Insurance, woohoo! Man, Salina, Ohio Insurance, I applaud them. Man, they were great to work with. Man, they were great. They really were. So if you're looking for insurance, go use them. Did you see that? Here I am naked. Who did this? If they treated me well, hey, I'm going to tell you, this is great. About 3 months ago, there was an incident that happened on United Airlines. Remember that? This little doctor from Louisville, Kentucky, got beat up and was dragging down the aisle, blood and everything else, all because he didn't want to give up his seat. Now, this is what Jesus says, use wisdom, right? So here you have this United Airlines flight that is oversold, and so they're telling people to get off the plane. There's a lot we can say about that, but that's not, because we've all dealt with airlines. And this guy says, no, I have to get to Louisville. I have to get there. I got to go. And no, you got to get off. And so now security guards from Chicago. Anybody ever been through Chicago Airport? Anybody ever dealt with the security guards at Chicago Airport? Are they as nasty? Those guys, they are. I've literally watched one of those police officers threaten a lady who had a baby, and she was just upset because she didn't get her baby carrier off with a rest. I literally watched him go, "Ma'am, if you don't calm down, I'm going to arrest you for disorderly conduct." And she was just emotional. Well, anyway, so this police officer comes on, grabs the person, drags him off, right? All right. Do you know how this whole situation could have been diffused really easy? Using wisdom, right? You see, the shame of that person being drug off probably gave him $1 million, right? All the police officer had to do was this. Okay, who all has flown? Not many of you have flown an airplane, right? Okay, when you're on an airplane, you're tense anyway, aren't you? You want to get going. You got a schedule. You got all this to happen. I've seen people do weird things on planes because they got a schedule to. All these police officers had to do was this. Walk on there. "Hey! Dr. So-and-so here doesn't want to get off the plane, and this plane is not moving until he leaves." "15 minutes later, we're not moving." "Half hour later, we're not moving." What's going to happen, by the way, to the crowd in the plane? They're going to start getting angry at him. And that's where Jesus is saying, you've got to use wisdom. I guarantee that had those police officers sat there, it would have been a half an hour and that plane would have been in the air. And they still have their jobs, and United wouldn't have lost $2 million. In case you're curious, we bought our Delta airline tickets 1 month after to go to Guam, 1 month after that happened. Well, actually, 1 week after it happened. The number one airline to Guam is United. See? And here's this guy walking naked. What happened? I have my dignity. Then Jesus makes another comment. He says, if anyone forces, notice the word forces you, to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Notice that word force. That's so important because Israel was being occupied by the Romans. The Romans were carrying a backpack. The backpack had 60 pounds, at least 60 pounds of equipment in it, because they had to have their tents and everything else in there. Plus they were carrying their sword, plus their shield, plus all their army gear. So if they would be walking down the road and they would look and they would say, "Okay, Joe, you're going to carry my backpack for me." And it gave them 1 mile to rest. The rule was very specific. They could not go more than 1 mile. In fact, there were actual mileposts right along the way. So right here you start, and then for one more, you have to carry this for 1 mile. And so here's Joe, he's carrying it. If he doesn't, he gets in trouble. If he goes more than a mile, then the soldier gets in trouble. Are you starting to see the correlation here? Now, I do believe it can mean that, hey, go the extra mile, do more for the person for the sake of Christ. I do believe it means that, but I think it can mean this. All right, I'll carry it. You got 1 mile. Yeah, I'll have my gear back. No, don't worry about it. I'm going to go another mile for you. And the soldier's now going, no, my commander, hey, why is he going an extra mile? He won't, no. Jesus is telling a person to be wisely to point out the injustice, making them break their own rule. And that's what Martin Luther King did. He used the weapon of love. He said, any dignified person can walk across the bridge. Therefore, we're going to walk across the bridge. And then he allowed the cameras to show the water hoses and the dogs coming after. So Jesus is saying, you don't fight back with violence. You can use wisdom. Now we're in the midst of people here, and
you're always going to have conflict because we're selfish human beings. But Jesus is saying, honor God with your life. It's not about you. It's about God. It's not about your rights. You gave up your rights when you became a Christian. Do you know what the number one problem in a jail is? The number one problem in jail is the prisoners think they have rights. Now they do, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is, they'll literally sit here and go, I'm not going to do this, correction officer, because I have my rights. And you're literally going, wait a minute, you gave up your rights when you came in here. I can't tell you how many inmates that I had to talk to about that is, no, I have my rights, I can do this. No, you don't. You're in prison. You gave it up. But we keep saying it's all about me. Same thing in the church. Christians, we're going to be talking about this. You became a Christian. You accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You gave up your rights and you gave them to Jesus. So I start living my life the way Jesus wants. I treat my wife the way Jesus wants. I treat that person that is just like fingernails on a chalkboard like Jesus wants me to treat them. I don't get revenge. I don't plow a car in a group of people. It's about Jesus. Because I recognize and I realize that how I respond, the rest of the world are looking at me and saying, and you're a Christian? Okay, let's go real fast. Fastly. There are biblical examples of this when Jesus was arrested. One of the high priest's officers slapped him. And Jesus said, didn't reply back. He says, I can't even read, I got to look back here. If I said something wrong, testify what is wrong. Well, what have I spoken correctly? Why are you striking me? See what he did? What did I do wrong? In Acts chapter 16, verse 34, you have the magistrates of Paul and Silas were in prison. They falsely accused and falsely beat Paul and Silas. An earthquake came, opened up the doors. Paul and Silas stayed in prison. And what they said was that since the magistrate did this to me and it was wrong, he has to escort us out of this prison. Read it on your own. It's a fascinating thing. They're saying, we have dignity. You're just not going to open up and try to hush this up. We have dignity. Okay? How does this apply to my life? 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is somebody that represents a nation. You represent the nation of God. Let me go further, and this is even more important. Hear this. You are more important than the ambassador of the United States to North Korea right now. You are more important than any ambassador in this world because you are an ambassador of God Almighty. Isn't that amazing? You are an ambassador of God to the rest of the world. Wow. That's like, whoa, you know? Okay, and Jesus even goes further and says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, remember I said that, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your God, Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain to the just and the unjust. What if you love those who love you? What reward will that give you? Are you not even that tax collector doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says, you're not like the rest of the world. You're different. Romans 12. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. You know, it says, if possible. It means you do your best. Do not take revenge, my friend, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. I have seen people that God has taken care of. And let me tell you something. It is an awesome and frightening thing when you see God take care of somebody. And I have.
In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That verse 21 is what was needed yesterday in Virginia. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the question is, in a relationship, comes out and says, when is the time to stop turning the other cheek in a relationship? The answer is never. Never. Jesus says this. Or Paul says this, and I'll close off with this statement. Since I get to it. Actually, it was Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives amongst the pagans. Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and glorify your God on the day.
Please stand and join us.
I believe in the resurrection. get released